For our first hour of study this morning, I want to encourage you to open your Bible to the book of 1 Corinthians. And that'll be the first passage we'll look at, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Today we are going to conclude our series on being zealous for good works. We have been engaged in this study for a few weeks. We've been looking at the subject of zeal and what it is. Zeal is that energy, that enthusiasm, that passion, that drive. It's the fuel that we put in the engine of our car that drives us forward. I've asked us to have the figure of a fire before us as we've been thinking about zeal and the energy that's in a pot of boiling water, or the energy that's in that crackling campfire. I want that picture to be in our minds as we're thinking about zeal. And of course, we've been looking at good works. What are some of the good works that we are to be zealously doing? And we've looked at a number of those. And today, as we draw this series to a close, I wanted us to spend some time talking about how we treat our visitors. Looking very quickly, surveying who was coming in this morning and looking again, I don't think we have any visitors with us. Sorry, Brody and Hannah, when you've been here a few weeks, the visitor tag is gone. So we're not going to be talking about anyone right in front of them. Let's talk about how we treat our visitors. Let's talk about making sure that we do that in the right way. And I want to say this. I know I'm preaching to the choir when I talk to this congregation about making sure we treat our visitors in the right way, because we're already doing this. But we're already praying. We're already evangelizing. We're already doing all of the good works we've been talking about. But this is something that's important. We realize it's important, but we don't often bring it to a format like this to consider in a study like this. And that's what I wanted to do with our time this morning. I'd like for you to have an idea in your mind as we proceed through these few minutes of this study. I would like for you to imagine what it would be like to be a first-time visitor at the Knollwood Church of Christ. I know that's difficult, somewhat difficult for many of us. Some of you were born and raised here. But imagine what it would be like to be stepping through those doors for the first time, seeing the inside of this building for the first time. Put yourself in that position. Now, as we talk about the way we treat our visitors, I want to begin with somewhat of a warning. We live in a consumer-driven society. That is, it's run by businesses, and the idea of business is make sure that the customer is happy, right? Customer satisfaction. Aren't you getting tired of those surveys that you get all the time? Every time you open your wallet, someone's handing you a survey, it seems. But there's that idea. We want to make sure that we're doing a good job, that you're happy. We want to make sure that you're happy and that you come back and you bring your money back with you. And that's okay for the business world, but I see this seeping into churches as well. Churches look at what's going on around about them, and they follow the models of the world around about them, and you see churches that are catering entirely to the visitors. And that goes into the way they design their building, the way they advertise, the way they draw in the programs that they offer. It's all visitor-driven, making sure that the visitor is catered to so that the visitor has a good experience and the visitor comes back. That's all well and good, but again, that approach comes from the business world, not from the Word of God. And if we're not careful, if we focus on visitors to that extent, we're going to place our focus in the wrong direction. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21 still says that God is to be glorified in the church, not the visitor and not the members. We need to remember our focus is on God. However, we can maintain our focus on God in our assemblies and still make sure we treat our visitors correctly. There are two passages in the New Testament that specifically talk about visitors in the assemblies of the church. And we're going to look at these two passages and we're going to see what two things God would have us to know, would have us to remember, would have us to do regarding our visitors. First, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, God's word tells us that we, all of us, as members of the local church, have a responsibility to make sure that the visitors who are present are seeing and hearing the right kind of things. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the Apostle Paul is addressing the problems that they were having with their worship services. They were enamored in Corinth. They were enamored with miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit, especially the gift of tongues. And they had turned the worship services into a circus-like atmosphere where those who had the gift, they were showing it off. Well, here's the thing about the gift of tongues. You're speaking in a language that is not known by others. No one understands what you're saying. And that's the point that Paul is making here in 1 Corinthians 14. The purpose of the assembly is edification, and you can't be edified if you don't understand. Hang on to that truth. You can't be edified if you don't understand what's being said. Look at verses 22 through 25. Paul writes and says, "Therefore tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophesying is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those who are uninformed or unbelievers," that would be your visitors. They had visitors there at Corinth. "When your visitors come in, will they not say that you are out of your mind?" They come in and they're seeing what's happening and they're hearing the speaking in tongues. And what do they conclude? Those people are crazy over there. Those people are crazy. And they'll leave with that impression in mind and they likely won't come back. They likely won't come back. Read on. "But if all prophesy," that is to speak the word of God, in the language that is known by those individuals, "if all prophesy and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all, he is convicted by all, and thus the secrets of his heart are revealed, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you." See, one truth we take away from this passage is that, yes, we do have a responsibility towards our visitors. We have a responsibility of making sure that they hear and see things done in a proper way. God works on us through our hearts, and He does so through His Word. And any time the Word is hindered, God's purpose is not able to be accomplished. Paul would go on and say here in chapter 14, verse 33, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints." And verse 40, he concludes by saying, "Let all things be done decently and in order." When a visitor comes into our services, our worship service, our Bible class, we need to make sure that they are in an atmosphere where everything is being done in an orderly manner, that it's not disruptive, that it doesn't detract from the truth that is being taught, either through our singing, through the prayers, through our observance of the Lord's Supper, or through the preaching and teaching of God's Word. We're not to detract from that. We're not to take away from that. All things are to be done decently and in order. One thing I commend the song leaders for doing, when they get up and they begin worship services, they will go through, many of them will go through and give the order of services. We're going to have two songs, then a prayer, another song, the Lord's Supper, another song, then the sermon. All of us as members, yeah, we know that. That's not said for our benefit. That's said for the benefit of those who are visiting, so that they know what's going on. They know what to expect. Even if our visitors are Christians, even if they are members of other churches of Christ, the order of services may be different where they are. We let them know what's happening here so that everything is done in order and they know what to expect. Again, put yourself in the place of a first-time visitor. What's going to happen here? Well, wouldn't it be better if we let them know? So I appreciate the song leaders doing that. But all of us as members have a responsibility to make sure that we're behaving properly in our worship services. Misbehavior in services will distract everyone who is present, including those who are our visitors. The talking that takes place in the pew between individuals, that's distracting. The sleeping that happens from time to time, and I know it's not on purpose, but that's distracting. Again, a first-time visitor sitting and looking over and the person down the pew from them falls asleep. Wow, what kind of folks are these? They're not really into what's going on here. Or playing with the phone. I realize we're well past the introduction of the Bible on handheld devices. That time is already here. And I know many members here use the handheld devices as the source for their scriptures in our worship services. But people can tell when you've switched that off and you've gone to social media, or you're sending a text, or you're playing a game on your phone. People sitting behind you can see that. What message does that send to the visitors? Wow, these people really don't care about worshiping God. That can be distracting. So we need to make sure that we're conducting ourselves in our services in a way that does not take away from God's purpose for the services for those who are visiting. And if we are zealously involved in our worship and in our Bible study, that problem will take care of itself. Let's be zealous in our worship, in our study of God's Word. The second passage in the New Testament that addresses visitors is James chapter 2. James chapter 2, and really verses 1 through 13 is the entire context, but I only want to read verses 2 through 4. James chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. James says, "For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, 'You sit here in a good place,' and you say to the poor man, 'You stand there,' or 'Sit here at my footstool,' have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts?" Many of us are familiar with this passage. We know that James goes on to expose that favoritism that is shown by those who would treat one visitor differently than the other. The use I want to make of this text is, number one, notice visitors are there. They've had visitors come to their assembly, just like we do. But the focus I want to make with this is the impact this treatment has on the visitors. Now, James doesn't address that. We're left to understand, and it's pretty logical, how a person would feel if he came in and somebody else was standing next to him dressed better than him and they're treated differently. We know what impact that would have upon them, but let's talk about that. Let's use that as our basis for what we're going to study the next few minutes. The way we acknowledge and receive and treat our visitors is very important. Almost everyone is sensitive to subtle nonverbal messages. And we send those as soon as we see a visitor. As soon as we see an unfamiliar face, we automatically start sending those subtle messages to them. What they see and what they hear, not only from the pulpit, but from the pew, from everyone, is very important. It makes an impression upon them. Let me show you how important it is that we greet our visitors, and that we do it as quickly or as timely as we can. There are different surveys that have been done regarding those who visit churches or visit religious services and the impact that it has upon them. Different surveys show different times, but both of them are very quick as far as I'm concerned. Visitors form an opinion, number one, about whether or not a congregation is friendly, and number two, about whether or not they're going to bother coming again within the first 2 to 10 minutes of being present. Now, that's just the way things are. We might say, you know, that the song leader really hadn't even had a chance to get services started after 10 minutes. And certainly the preacher hasn't got up to preach by then. That really doesn't matter. Most have already formed those views and those opinions. What does that tell us? That tells us that we need to act quickly. When we have visitors in our assembly, we need to act quickly and make sure that they feel welcome. Again, put yourself in the place of a first-time visitor at our assemblies. How uncomfortable it could be going to a place for the first time where you don't know anyone, or maybe just a couple of people. It's in a place that you've never been before. Can you imagine what it must be like, especially if you're the kind of person that doesn't like to draw attention to yourself, and you come to the Knollwood congregation, and you pull around in the parking lot, and you find a nice place to park, and you come up to the door, and you come in through the door, and you come through the foyer, and you step through the door and realize you're standing in the front of the auditorium? I had a visitor a number of years ago bring that out. You know, it'd be nice to have a sign letting us know we're stepping into the front of the building here. Put yourself in that place. What can we do? Now, I know that our deacons have been positioned at both of the entrances by the elders to intercept these visitors. It's not the right word. But to make sure, especially that the visitors are welcomed, that they get their supplies for the communion. A visitor's card is given to them. We have deacons assigned to take care of that, but all of us play a role in making sure that our visitors feel welcome. So what can we do? What can we do to make sure that that welcome mat that we put out, that we're really standing behind that? Well, number one, give visitors a personal welcome. Turn with me to Psalm 142. Psalm 142, we're going to look at verse 4. Not everybody is cut out to do this. I realize that. We have our introverts who are members, just like we have introverts who are visitors. Not everybody's cut out for that, but I've been here long enough to know that most of us are. Most of us are, and a lot of us do. When we see a visitor, we go to them personally. Introduce ourselves. What is your name? Where are you from? What brings you our way today? And start that conversation going. That helps. That helps break that ice. That helps settle the person who is in a strange place for the first time. How important that is. In Psalm 142, this is a psalm that is written by David as he is hiding in a cave from King Saul, hiding for his life. But I believe the attitude that he shows here in verse 4 can certainly be applied to a person who is sitting in a strange place for the first time. Look on my right hand and see, for there is no one who acknowledges me. Refuge has failed me. No one cares for my soul. Could you imagine somebody coming to the Knollwood Church of Christ and thinking that? And yet, if no one talks to them in the first 2 to 10 minutes, it's very likely what they're going to leave saying. No one there cares. No one there cares about me. We need to go forward. We need to be the ones that step forward. We need to be the ones that greet them, give them that personal welcome. We can all do that. Secondly, help those who are visiting. If you notice that a young family has come in with children, don't just tell them, hey, we've got Bible classes down the hall. Take them to the classes down the hall. Let me show you. Let me help you find the classes for your children. Because again, put yourself in that position. It'd be one thing to come into a strange place with your parents. It'd be another thing to be taken off to a room without them. Right? So step forward and help them. Yes, we have a nursery. There's no sign up for it. It's right back there. Let me take you to where that is and help them. Yes, we have restrooms. They're here, they are there. And help them. Ask if there's any questions that they have, any questions about the congregation. Be there to help them. So offer help to those. You can do that. You can offer help to a visitor that's sitting close to you. Contribute to a reverent and warm atmosphere. While we want to be welcoming to our visitors, We also need to remember where we are. We're not at the grocery store, and we're not at the football stadium. We're not at the movie theater. We're at a house of worship. We need to remember that, but at the same time, we can still be warm, and we can still be sociable. We need to find that balance and maintain that balance. I think one thing that our change of services has done for us, between the Bible class and the 11 o'clock worship, we've got that 15 minutes. That 15 minutes. And when I first saw that, to be honest, I thought, 15 minutes, that's a long time. That 15 minutes goes by pretty quickly. It goes by pretty quickly because we're busy doing what? A lot of us are busy visiting during that time. A lot of us are busy doing that. And that's great. That gives us enough time to greet our visitors. We can talk to each other anytime, right? You can call me whenever you want. Just don't do it after 8 o'clock at night. Or I'll call you at 4 o'clock in the morning when I get up. We can talk to each other anytime. It might be we've got a visitor here today, and this is it. So let's take advantage of that. Let's greet our visitors, especially during that time between our services. But let's contribute to a warm and reverent atmosphere. Fourth, don't embarrass our visitors. Again, I think I'm preaching to the choir here. I think we know where that line is between making someone feel welcome and making someone feel uncomfortable. But let's make sure we don't cross over that line. Don't draw, hey, we got a visitor. If we have a visitor, act like we've had one before. No, don't embarrass them. Don't give them a reason to leave before services even begin. And I want to bring this point out as well. Don't ask a visitor to change seats. We don't have assigned seats here at Knollwood, but we respect each other. We know pretty much who sits where, and we respect that. A visitor doesn't know who sits anywhere. And if they come in and they sit down in a place where they feel comfortable sitting, don't come and let your first words to them be, you're in my seat. How foolish, how shameful that is. During one of our youth lectures a number of years ago, we had three girls, teenage and younger girls, who were visiting this congregation during those youth lectures. They were here for the Bible class on Sunday morning, and they were sitting during the Bible class, and some of our members who are never here for Bible class came in for the worship service and went up to that pew and told those girls, you're sitting in our seat. Those girls, for the rest of their lives, are going to know of Knollwood as the place where we were told to move. Folks, that's what we're talking about. Having some common sense about us. It's going to get harder and harder for us to find places to sit as we continue to grow. But we need to have some common sense. We need to have some Matthew 7, verse 12, treat others the way you want to be treated when we interact with our visitors. Let's not embarrass them. Let's not give them a reason to leave. And I would add this one more thing. Get to know the visitors. Again, some people are private. Some people are introverts. And when you go to meet somebody, you can figure out pretty quickly. They start putting up some walls, and you respect that. You respect that. But if possible, get to know them. Talk with them. Invite them to go have lunch with you after services are over. Invite them to come back at our next time. I'll be looking for you. We're going to meet again Wednesday night. At 7 o'clock, I'll be looking for you. That'd be great to have you back. Get to know them. Get to know them so that they're not a one-time visitor, but so that they'll come back. And we can hopefully teach them the gospel and convert them to Christ. Any church can say that they are warm and friendly. Saying it is one thing. Being it is something else. Does God care about that? Again, the focus of our assembly should be God first. But you look at 1 Corinthians 14, you look at James chapter 2, I believe God is concerned about the way you and I treat our visitors and our assemblies. Let's be sure that we treat them in such a way that they see and hear the things that God intends for them to see and hear while they are present. And let's treat them in such a way that they're not uncomfortable and that they will desire to come back and be with God's people once again. Let's always be zealous for every good work, including the way we treat our visitors here at Knollwood. And again, I've been preaching to the choir here. For the most part, we do a great job with this. But there's always room for improvement. Let's make sure that we are doing this work the way God would have us to do it. Let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we are so thankful for this beautiful day that you've given us, for the safe travel that we've had into this assembly and into our building. We're thankful that we're used to having visitors here at Knollwood. We pray that you would continue to bless us with such visitors. We pray that you would help us to have a renewed appreciation for what a visitor goes through to come in through these doors, and help us to act out of love and out of genuine concern for their souls, to greet them and treat them the way that we should. We ask your blessings on us as we continue to go through these services today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You're dismissed to your classes.